Hello and welcome back to the Vinyl Countdown, the podcast where I, Jeremy Levine, break down my favorite vinyl releases from cover to cover and everything in between. On this week's episode, I know I was supposed to release one last week and right around Christmas time, and the more I thought about it, one, it's Christmas, nobody's going to be listening to this anyway, so, and two, I didn't have time with work and visiting family and just doing Christmas things, so I kind of just took an unplanned week off. So I did want to close out 2021 with my annual top five albums, plus honorable mentions, plus whatever else of the year. And also too, I want to kind of include, I think I did it last year too, where I talked about also my top five record pickups of the year, regardless of release, you know, just like the ones that I got this year that I was super excited to get my hands on, whether they were released this year or not. So, all that being said, before we get into it, I will be coming back with another episode, I think, next week, and then, the second week of January will actually be, my 100th episode. Seems like it's been a weird crawl and just a really tough time getting to 100, but it's going to be fun, I think, and then we'll see where I go from there. I may take a break and kind of try to get things in order, and, you know, there may be a restructuring of the show. I'm not real sure what I'm going to do yet, but I do know, I think deep down I want to continue doing this, but maybe the way I'm doing it right now needs to change, or I just need some time away from it to kind of get myself wanting to really want to do it some more. But you know, I'll leave that for the 100th episode. You know, you guys want to come back and kind of get an update on where everything's going to go, and I'm just going to try to have fun with that one. But before I get to that point, I still have a couple more episodes to go, and like I said, top five albums of the year. I'm just going to get right into it. The bottom three are in no particular order. Okay, I'm going to start with A Million Masks of God by Manchester Orchestra. Now, this is a record that, like most Manchester Orchestra records, like I don't, with the exception of maybe their first two albums, because I remember Simple Math in 2011, I did not really care for it for like 3 or 4 months. Like I bought it and then just kind of listened to it and kind of didn't. And you know, I'd pick and choose a song here or there that I thought was pretty good. And just, it seems like all their albums ever since have kind of been like that, where it's like, they don't immediately grab me and go, yep, this album's great. And this one's kind of the same way. Like, you know, upon first listen, I was like, hey, I like it. I like what they're doing. And, oh, by the way, it is New Year's Eve. So, yay, celebration time. And I don't know, this one though, there are some elements of their sound where it's like, it kind of sounds like Cope, right? And Black Mile Through the Surface. Like, I guess it seems like a pretty, a natural progression to this particular sound. And what I believe Jeremy Bowen from Touche Amore said, which I think is true, it is an extremely well-paced album. Every song flows so well into the other, and like the pacing throughout is just perfect. So I mean, you can't really go wrong with Manchester Orchestra. I mean, like they kind of knock it out of the park every time. Even if it takes me a little while to get into it, it eventually ends up knocking my proverbial socks off. So that's number five. I guess not number five, but that's what I'm starting with, right? So this is one I actually had in my number one and two conversation until the one and two albums came out. again, this is not in any particular order. Fuck it. No, I'll put this in number three. I'll wait on that one. Number four, or I guess four and five can be flip-flopped around. I didn't want to say, Lingua Ignota's newest, Sinner Get Ready, but I honestly listened to it and I like it. I like what she's doing. I just haven't really, really gotten into it enough to fully assess whether it's a top five album of the year for me or not. So, you know, I initially did have that one, like, just kind of like, I guess maybe I jumped the gun a bit and was like, oh yeah, that's gotta be in there. And the more I think about it, maybe not. If I had to, actually, I'll do this, and I'll, you know, tell me if this is or isn't a proper way to do this. But Sky Dream by Death Rosenstock, which, as everybody knows, is the like ska cover version of Jeff's album from last year, No Dream. I wasn't sure if I could count that as a full new album and like do it as a release for this year and put it on this list. Andrea back here, who she earlier said, what? She said earlier that it doesn't matter because it's a reimagining. Although it is the same album, it is in a completely different style. So I was good with that. Who cares? Doesn't matter anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and put Sky Dream at number four because it started as a fucking joke. Like, I mean, I'll never forget maybe not a joke because he was serious, but it seemed like a joke because he actually tweeted it on April Fool's and said, or something to the effect of, what if I drop a ska album, a ska cover album, or like a ska version of No Dream? And nobody in the comments, everybody was kind of like, oh, Jeff, you're silly. And then like a few weeks later, he dropped Sky Dream. It's like, okay, first of all, that's awesome. But then secondly, it's really, really, really good. Like almost better than it has any right to be when it kind of seemingly was a joke in a way. Like it, the dude, he again, he's another one, can do no wrong. Like just everything he kind of does is just really good, whether it's just straight out rock songs or punk or some of the kind of the heavier elements that he incorporated into Sky, and not Sky Dream, but into No Dream, which, speaking of the song Scram, right? There's that kind of double bass heavy breakdown or whatever in the middle of that song in the original version. In the ska version, it's a lot more laid back. It's a little more, you know, a lot of horns, a lot of, you know, just ska shit, right? You know what ska sounds like. But it was really cool because when it gets to the breakdown, there's like an extra little extended bridge where there's a guy kind of rap, kind of talking over the beat of like the horns and kind of the whatever. And then when he finishes his little, that added section, it breaks into the like real like double bass heavy, just like hardcore breakdowny part of the original song, which I thought was really cool. They meshed the two songs together that way, because not every song on the record does that. Like they don't always kind of go back to the original. They kind of keep it in the ska format pretty much for the whole song. So that was kind of a nice touch. But so yeah, Sky Dream, and again I said Death Rosenstock because on the record he does have it listed, his name as Death Rosenstock, which is pretty fucking awesome. So number three, I will say my top three is solidified. I think I'm gonna go ahead and just make it the decision on one and two. Might be controversial, but I'll go with it. Number three, Gami Gang by Origami Angel. This is one. I mean, it took me no time at all. From the moment I started playing it, the first time I listened to it, I was fucking done. I was sold. I mean, every song from the opening. Hashtag Gami Gang is just like what they've described before. It's like trap emos. I don't know. It's just cool ass beat, whatever. Goes into Self Destruct, which is just a great fucking song. And I mean, it's just every single track just works, you know? There's one, I said, I was on the Off the Beaten Cleft podcast talking about my top five songs a few weeks ago. And I mentioned one of the songs. It's Trust, but has a slash. I think I said backslash, but I think it actually might be forward slash Trust. And that bugs me because I fucked that up, but I can never remember which way is forward or back. Whatever the case, that song's probably my favorite off the record. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's so good. And like I talked about on his show where Rylan, lead singer, like, you know, the guitar is playing and it has a very, very pretty, like a melody to it. It sounds really awesome. The tone of the guitar, everything is cool. But then also the way that he sings and kind of matches the guitar, like the way it's, I guess everything kind of syncs up together really well. Like it's just, it's so fucking cool. You know, it's not cool. Goddamn fireworks just went off. It sounds like somebody is literally shooting a hole in the side of the goddamn house. But I mean, kind of goes without saying, if these records are on my top five of the year, right, I would highly recommend you picking them up, every last one of them. So that kind of, like I said, that kind of goes without saying. But moving on real quick, number 2. Okay. It's going to be, it was hard for me to do this. It really was. And, you know, I wasn't sure which one was going to win, but I'm going to go ahead and say Foxing with Draw Down the Moon is 2. It was my album of the year. I was pretty much like solidified. I was like, fuck it. I know it's early in the year. This is my record of the year. Go listen to my Foxing Draw Down the Moon episode if you want to hear me dive in depth in that one. That's episode 92. Dropped last month. Check it out if you want to get some more insight into the songs and just hear me talk about it and everything else. But man, it's so good. Like they just don't fucking miss, man. Like Foxing is one of my favorite bands, like one of my favorite active bands. And I've seen them live twice. They're incredible live. They just keep putting out albums that are great from start to finish. Like it's really awesome to, you know, I don't know, be a fan of theirs, I guess. Like they just keep doing really cool shit. So again, go listen to that if you want me to, you know, want to hear a deep dive on it. And this is one. So my 1, as anybody who I guess is following me on Instagram or Twitter or just, you know, knows me, I've listened to this album, apparently according to Spotify, more than any album I've listened to all year. My top 5 songs on my Spotify Wrapped were all from this one album. And that's saying something pretty crazy because I just started listening to it like at the beginning of October. So it took over every other song, overtook every other song and album in like a 2-month period. So that album would be actually the episode I just did last, Turnstile with Glow On. And I know I'm not the only one. Like a lot of people are putting this as their 1. A lot of publications are putting it as their 1, but they deserve it. I think like all the shit they're doing, they're kind of blowing up right now. And I mean, I don't know. They're doing it right. Fuck, they're fucking great. Live, they're great. And again, the record is like, I've listened to it, I mean, oh, who knows, probably 40 times or some shit. Like it's an insane amount of times in over the course of like a 2-month period, right? Like it's just like once or twice a day. You know, some days I've listened to it 3 times in 1 day, which that never happened. I'm never one to just like repeat music like that. And this album really just grabbed me, which if you listen to the episode from the previous episode, I actually didn't care for it at first. Like I was like not getting it. Like I didn't get it, I guess. I don't know. I was just like, ah, these Turnstile people, I don't really care. And then, you know, a few weeks went by and I revisited it and was like, holy shit. Then, I don't know, it clicked and I was sold. So, whatever. Turnstile, 1 album of the year. Gotta pick it up if you can find it for cheap. Because, again, listen to the episode last week or the week before. Not a single variant is selling for less than $100. So, hopefully, you can find one for cheaper than that. Like I said, I have my buddy Ilya, shout out. Got it for $25 at their show in Houston at like the last minute, so that was fucking cool. I got mine for retail, but I mean, with an album that big and the fact that every single variant sold out and is like selling for an ungodly amount now, I would be shocked if they don't repress it at some point next year. Like at least, you know, a couple of thousand, like per variant or something, because like, I mean they're gonna sell like there's no way that they're not looking at that and going like, we can drop, you know, 3 variants, 1,000, 1,500 each and all of them will sell out. Like, so that's it for my top 5 albums of the year. Now I'd like to get into my top pickups of the year, which, you know, in a way I don't necessarily want to include the top 5 albums that released because that seems kind of easy, I guess, to kind of a cheap way to populate this list. But I will say, I guess maybe I'll just kind of talk about a few that I got this year that I thought were really neat. One, which I talk about on the episode that I did on it, Paramore's Riot, finally getting that on vinyl for retail thanks to the big repress that Fueled by Ramen did. So I was really excited to get that one on my list. Of course, you know, probably the most anticipated, like the one that really stands out as the absolute best records that I got for the year were the Funeral for a Friend records, simply because, as everybody knows from the Funeral for a Friend episodes that nobody listened to, they have been out of print some for 15 years. So, you know, the market on those was obviously extremely out of control, right? Like $400 or $500 per record. And to drop them, and like not just like, you know, drop like 500, 1,000, they dropped a bunch. So there's quite a few. And now they're selling for like $20, right? So it's like so cool to get that record for retail finally. After, I mean, literally waiting, you know, at least when I started getting into vinyl and really started kind of looking around and seeing what records were on vinyl and that sort of thing. I've been looking at these two since probably 2014. So 7 years, you know, it's just, it's been a really long time. And like I said, to finally get it for retail, I was just overjoyed. So that would definitely be on the list as well. Also, finally got my Under Oath box set with, you know, They're Only Chasing Safety, To Find the Great Line, and then, between the other one, the third album, Lost in the Sound of Separation. So getting those on vinyl as well, because similar situation to the Funeral for a Friend records, in that they've been out of print for so long, and the ones that are available were super expensive. So to get it, I got all three albums in a box set for $80. So it's like, it's a fucking steal, man. It took 8 months for it to come in, but, you know, just the fact that I got it anyway, that I was, like I said, couldn't be happier. Let's see. Oh, man. I'm going to keep all this in. Also picked up Minutes to Midnight, Meteora, and Hybrid Theory by Linkin Park as well, which is, again, ones that I've wanted for a while. Finally got my hands on them. Super cool. Let's see. Well, okay, I will say this. I got a Bone Palace Ballet Grand Coda by Chiodos, which was kind of disappointing because the sound quality, just like with the other repress, man, like with All's Well That Ends Well, the sound quality just wasn't great. And I don't know, I feel like they just shipped that repress out just like, here, you fucks, take this, and like didn't really like do much with it. There's no like extras or anything. There's no kind of like, there's nothing there. I don't know. And my issue with that too has always been, ever since they released the Grand Coda like version of this, was the fact that they took the best goddamn song on the record off the record, which was Teeth Size of Piano Keys. And I understand why they did it. There was some copyright shit and there was something outside of their control, but whatever the case, it's like, that fucking sucks. And they replaced it with some other songs, which are those, the new songs are fine, but I mean, it's just not great, you know, that they took off my favorite song. But whatever the case, that's some of my favorite pickups of the year. 2021's kind of been a long one for everyone I know, and but hey, we made it through, and now we have an hour and 53 minutes until 2022. So with that, like I said, I'll be back next week with a little kind of a mini episode, and then I'll be coming back with my 100th episode after that. So with that being said, as always, I'm Jeremy Levine, and this has been the Vinyl Countdown. I hope to be in your ears next week and next year. Take care, everybody. Thanks.